Thank you so much for having me here. It's a great honor to speak to this audience. I want to talk about the topic of leadership in the digital world and would like to share with you what I have learned in doing research as a guest researcher at Stanford and setting up the so-called Leadership Garage project. I will present to you about the importance, present to you about the importance of taking command of the digital transformation, and it's all about people, networks, and innovation. And as we all know, the digitalization is setting us under pressure, especially all the companies I was working with from Germany and Europe. They are trying to kind of manage the digital transformation. And simply putting up the sign, "Don't disturb," does not really help us to manage the digital transformation successfully. What we have to do is just to be active and to deal with it. Let me share our insights from the so-called Leadership Garage. And by the way, that's the original HP Garage. And you all know that everything started in a garage in Silicon Valley. And when I came there in 2014, I needed a name for the project I wanted to work on. And I said, of course, we are also a garage. We are doing innovative research on leadership. And that's why we call ourselves Leadership Garage. And if I'm talking about we, that's the companies you can see here, mainly traditional companies from Germany, huge companies from Germany and Europe, and they are all in the middle of the process of the digital transformation. We use Stanford University as a sparring partner. We can share our knowledge with the researchers there, and this is really helpful. It's also helpful to be right in the heart of the Silicon Valley because you learn everything about transformation, you learn everything about innovation there, and especially from all these really fast-growing startups, you can learn a lot about innovation. And these innovations, what we learn from them, the first thing is that these innovations change our workplaces. A lot of companies now in Germany start kind of hiring the architect from Google just to rechange their workplaces. Get rid of all the leather chairs and the huge tables and kind of set up work surroundings like that, which is a huge kind of, innovation for German companies. The next thing we just looked at in our research was the question, how does leadership change if you have kind of part-time work in a co-working space? This is, by the way, the so-called HANA house, a co-working space in Palo Alto, and the name HANA kind of points out that it's from SAP, so Hasso Plattner himself set up this really nice place where you can go have a coffee, and then inside you have the co-working possibilities. A lot of meetings take place there. So whenever you want to meet someone, okay, let's go to the HANA house. So a lot of people simply work there or in other co-working spaces, and that means a lot and does a lot for the with our leadership style. Because if you as a leader or your employees are kind of part-time working in the co-working space, that means that you have to lead remotely. My host at Stanford is Larry Leifer, and you might know that Larry is one of the founders of design thinking. So one of the hotspots on campus is the so-called D school, the design school. Every visitor just kind of wants to step in and see what's so special about design thinking. It has nothing to do with digitalization, actually. So I came there and said, I want to learn about the digital world, and now I'm here in the D school where they work with kind of material that you find in kindergarten, and I got really fascinated by the way this design thinking works. It's so simple, just two principles. The first one is whenever you have an idea, just do a prototype, And the second principle is, if you have the prototype, show it to your customer. And the customer will give you feedback. It's so easy. And that's what I've learned there. That's the method for innovation. So if you want to really grow fast and innovate fast, then use this method of design thinking. I was talking to the people that do research on innovation in teams and so on, which is really, really interesting. And a lot of companies that we are doing research with now started installing their innovation spaces with design thinking. They call it design thinking box space or whatever. So, and then they try to do design thinking. What is special about design thinking in Stanford is that it's culture. In Germany, we sometimes say, or mostly say, okay, tomorrow from 11 till 12, we do design thinking. We go to a special room, we do it, and we use it kind of like a method. It's not a culture yet. And I think you have to have it as a culture so that you can really benefit from this. And in Silicon Valley, people get familiar with design thinking already in kindergarten. And I think that's the idea where you kind of really get that as a culture. So we ask ourselves in terms of research, how can you lead innovation by using design thinking? And another research question we focused on was remote leadership. So there is a shop in Palo Alto where you can get these beams. It's totally run by these people that are kind of beam in. There are no people in this shop. And we did an evaluation study with Airbus, one of our partners, and they used these beams in different situations for one-to-one talks, for kind of talking to a huge audience, and also for fairs. And they really liked the way how they can interact with the beams. And we are now going a little bit deeper in this topic and ask ourselves if this might be a kind of a tool for remote leadership. Because I don't know if you have tried out these beams, it's kind of a digital presence that you get with them, and you are kind of in a height of a person, and it's kind of, you can move around, so you are more present than just on a screen where you do a WebEx or a Skype or something like that. So that's one of our topics as well. And of course, we do research and we experience a lot of collaboration tools. So if you go to the big companies, of course, they all have all sorts of technique. And this is kind of a wall where you can swipe from right to left and left to right. And then you have all your digital natives in your team kind of in front of the wall. And then the question of the kind of a little bit older non-digital native leader is, okay, what's my role in this whole thing? So, and they get kind of unsecure what they should do, and we look at these kind of setups where you have in real time kind of sharing of data, working with the cloud, and putting all sorts of information together in real time, and have people that are communicating remotely. And the question is, how does leadership work in such a setup? And we help leaders just to deal with this kind of new work surroundings. And of course, what we found out about the young generation, about the generation Y and Z, our leaders that were in our sample, they said, oh my God, they are asking questions all the time. These young people, they want to have feedback every day, which is, talking as a psychologist, which is a really good thing, but you have to deal with that, and it's time consuming. And yeah, so and the young people, they have a lot of, they have more knowledge than older generations because they have access to all the knowledge. They can Google everything. They have access to all the databases. And of course, they want to participate. They want to have feedback, and they want to develop themselves further. If you go to Google or Apple or all the huge companies you find in Silicon Valley, you experience one thing, which is storytelling. every Friday, the Googlers, like they call themselves, the Googlers kind of come together, and the CEOs talk about the way how they managed to make the world even a little bit more, a little bit better during the week. So they tell stories, and storytelling is a really needed tool in the digital world because it helps you to motivate and to inspire people that are working remotely, for example. If you have a team, people are working in Singapore, and yet you want to kind of bring them into the team, you want to bring them, you want to cause commitment, then you do that with the help of storytelling. So storytelling is also really important if we talk about leadership in the digital age. And I was really fascinated by a talk that was given by a professional storyteller at Stanford, and he told us about how he does that storytelling and how much money he earns with that if he tries to set up a story with or for the CEO. So it's if we look at how to manage the digital transformation, we saw all the different things that kind of change in the new workplace, from storytelling to having completely new furniture, everything on wheels, everything is flexible. So how do you deal with that? That's the big question we were doing research on. And it's all about people, networks, and innovation. And I would like to share our research findings with you. We asked startups, and we also asked traditional companies what they think, what makes them successful in the digital world, and what they are doing. And we had around 1,000 single statements from leaders of traditional companies and the startups, and we asked, and then we kind of clustered these statements, and we ended up with 5 factors. And those 5 factors are now called 5 switches, because you have to switch them on in order to be successful in the digital world. And I would like to share the findings with you. The first switch, or the 5 factor, is workplace. So we've already seen that picture from the new workplace, how the new workplace looks like. And to sum it up, it's all about flexibility. You need flexible working hours, you need flexible working locations. We talked about the co-working spaces and so on. So it's all about flexibility. Just try to install as flexible workplaces as possible. The second switch is collaboration. So we share data in the cloud. So when I started working at Stanford, people told me, if you don't work with the cloud, if you still stick to email, you won't make it here because you are simply too slow. Just sending kind of attachments with email from one place to the next, it doesn't really work. So put all your stuff in the cloud, work with chat systems additionally, that's it. But that's a huge cultural change, right? So if you talk to German companies, for example, they say, well, okay, we try to work with the cloud, but still everyone has kind of a copy on its own computer, but that does not really make sense. So you have to share the data. Collaboration is all about networks, is kind of sharing knowledge within your networks, and is about this new technology that you try to handle, because collaboration software has to be used. The third switch is empowerment. As we have just noticed, that the new generation, the people are really well trained and skilled. And of course, they say, okay, if I know everything, I want to participate. So we are talking about democratic decision-making processes, and there's one Swiss company that were in the media in Europe, and they said, okay, democratic decision-making for us means that our CEO is elected by the employees. And so it's the CEO and the direct supervisors on the first line. Supervisors, they are elected by the employees. That's one kind of idea how they said the democratic decision making takes place. There are other ideas as well, because that one, well, you have to deal with that if it's always that successful. But what we need is feedback for the people, empowerment to the people, and democratic participation. The fourth switch is leadership. And if we talk about the leader of the future, you can say the future leader is a good networker, a storyteller, and a coach. According to our results, that's what the supervisor or the leader has to do. So being kind of part of a network and moderating human networks. So my colleague Larry is always talking about the team of teams. Every employee is part of a network, so you have a team of teams. And as a supervisor, you try to moderate these networks. So you allocate resources, you bring people together, you communicate within these networks. That's the first thing. The second thing is, as I already said, storytelling. So if you want, especially if you want to integrate people from abroad working remotely, you need a good story, so to involve people emotionally. And I tried starting telling stories to my secretary and to my team in Germany, because being 9,000 kilometers away most of the time, 9 hours time difference, and then if you want to keep the people kind of motivated, you start telling stories. I started kind of sharing pictures from Stanford and so on. So, and I really know what I'm talking about. So storytelling is a crucial skill here for the future leader. And the third thing is coaching. If people most of the time work from home, for example, because of flexible working times and hours, so people come then, let's say, one day a week for a so-called socializing day, and if they are then they are physically present in the office, they want to get hold of their leaders, their supervisors, and they want to talk to them in person. They need advice, they want coaching, and that's where this being a coach really gets important. The fifth and last switch we identified in our research is culture. So the culture, it's all about innovation, as we have already learned. It's a focus on innovation. The second thing is it's all about transparency. So if you can be 100% transparent, if you would like to be transparent, but it's up to you to design the level of transparency you want to have in your digital culture. And the last thing is the sense of unity. If you come to Stanford campus, you have to wear a Stanford t-shirt or a hoodie or something like that. If you go to Google, you see all the Google shirts. So that's a sense of unity, and even it becomes even more important if people work from abroad and are distributed globally. So those are the five switches we identified, and we said this is what successful behavior in the digital world tells us. Switch on these five switches. We compared the startups with the traditional huge companies, and what you can see here with the blue dots and the orange dots, that's the startups, and the blue dots, that's traditional companies. And of course, you see that it's easier for startups to put on the five switches. So they are doing more, they realizing more, for example, flexibility of working hours. So we found that, for example, in a startup, you can work several hours 1 month and you take off the next month. And in the huge companies, it's not that easy just to be as flexible in the working hours. So there is a difference, still a difference, and it's a question of scalability. So the question is, if you want to copy the success what you learn from the startups especially, you need to learn how to scale the whole process. That's the question, how to scale the whole process, because what works pretty well with 50 employees does not necessarily work in a huge company with 50,000 employees. So it's a matter of scaling, and we are trying to kind of help the companies to scale the processes so that they can successfully manage the digital transformation. We have talked about mainly about people and networks so far. Let's come to the innovation point right now and talk about new innovative paradigms. If you think of the German industry, of course, one of the favorite or most well-known examples is Volkswagen. So, and we are all proud of the products made in Germany. For years, we have been doing these products made in Germany. And now we learn that there's a paradigm shift, that it's not about products anymore, it's about data. So the car sellers, for the car producers, the whole automotive industry, and I've been working in the automotive industry for 8 years in my former life. So they learn that it's not about the car itself anymore, it's about mobility. It's more important to know where you can find a free parking spot, for example, than in which car you are driving. Right? So it's the shift from products to data, which especially for Germany, that is focused, where the industry has always been focused on made in Germany products, that's a huge huge change. The second paradigm shift when we talk about innovation is this example here, where you have, for example, Uber or also Lyft, where you have the phenomenon that you have access to a huge network without any employees. So the drivers are not your employees, but you switch from assets to access. So it's all about networks, it's all about access to be successful in the new world. The third paradigm where we have a switch is if we talk about the service structures. So if you are just going to the airport, the first real person you meet is the flight assistant. In earlier days, there were several people in the service that helped you with your ticket, with your suitcases, and so on. So we try to get to change from the service to the software, right? And if you look at, this is the example, so when we used to go to the cinema in earlier days, and now we can watch all the movies from home, have our popcorn next to our computer, and we have the switch from manual to automated, so from service to software. I don't know if you have tried out the different drink choices with these kind of machines. They are just coming over to Germany right now, and you can find them at Burger King. And people are really fascinated that they can make their own drink choices now. And that leads us to another principle, which is really important in the innovative digital world, namely from value capture to value co-creation. All what you have to do is kind of focus on the individual service needs of your customer. You do co-creation with your customer, and you try to you try to kind of find out what your customer really needs. Another paradigm shift is talking about, if we are talking about employees, is, and here is of course the example of Apple and Steve Jobs, where he was kind of pointing out that you have to ask your people to bring in the innovation, to share the innovation, so that these people, that the employees are really part of your whole system. And that brings us to the paradigm shift from loyalty to empowerment. So it's all about empowerment. We've already seen that in the five switches, that people, that our employees have to be empowered, and that you have to make use of their knowledge. This is the, of course, every tourist and all the other people, if they visiting Silicon Valley, they of course go to the Facebook campus and take a picture, like I also did here from the thumb. The interesting thing is what you find behind that sign. If you go on the back side of that sign, you find still the old Sun Microsystems sign there. And I'm not sure if this story is true or not, but people told me this story, and I want to share it with you because it really points out what I want to make pretty clear. Mark Zuckerberg, who definitely would have had the money to replace the whole sign and put up a huge Facebook sign, said, "I keep that as a reminder to my people. This happens to you if you're not fast enough." Someone took over Sun Microsystems because they simply were not fast enough. And that leads us to the last paradigm shift that we have, which is from slow to fast. So if you want to be really innovative and if you want to be successful in the digital world, you have to be fast. Speed is one of the words you hear constantly in Silicon Valley. Everything has to be done really fast, so you kind of get in this always on and always working mode really quickly. Here we have I have a slide where you have all these different things together, and there might be some others as well, but I think this is what I learned from Silicon Valley, which are the most important paradigm shifts you have to kind of take into account if you are really talking about new digital business models. And that brings me to this reflection question. We can't talk about that, or we can't discuss that right now, but just for you, for your personal reflection, which trends and drivers are influencing your company today, which will influence it in the future, and what can you do to be prepared for this digital transformation? And if you want to check and see if you as a leader are well prepared for the digital future, I would like you to inform you that you can use this website, osaleadershipgarage.de, where you can find an online self-assessment, and you get kind of green, red, and yellow answers like a traffic light that shows you if you are prepared for the digital age. So just try it out and check yourselves and share your story with others. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sabine.